Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Falling First Hell by Mariko Ray. Narrated by Kyle Mason and Angelina Rocca. Chapter 1. Ethan. I would never take women for granted again. These boobs were already killing my neck.
What the hell are you wearing?
Ace, my oldest brother, sent his voice into a falsetto of surprise as I came out of my bedroom. I spread my arms wide and shot all four of my brothers a grin. I nailed this look. I'm the new San Jose Silicon Valley mascot. In reality, I was no such thing. The official Valley mascot was a boring computer programmer, complete with cliché thick glasses and a pocket protector. Personally, I thought my favorite minor league baseball team could do better, and it was up to me, their number one fan, to bring new ideas to the table. Daxon laughed so hard I worried he'd mess his pants. My light cream carpet couldn't take that kind of bodily fluid overflow. Blaze tried valiantly to bite back a grin. Ace's eyes were bugging out of his head, and Callan just shook his head.
You do realize silicon and silicone are two different things, right?
Callan added dryly.
I nodded. I do. I looked it up on the Google. But the average baseball fan doesn't know that, and you gotta admit this is a way better mascot.
Popping one hip out in what I'd always thought was a sexy move on a lady, I did a twirl, making sure my brothers saw all sides of my costume. Blonde wig, wide sunglasses, and blue top stretched over fake boobs that would make Dolly Parton jealous. I paired that winning combo with a gray skirt, biker shorts underneath, don't worry, and high-top Converse. I'd briefly flirted with the idea of heels, but then decided against the torture chambers when I thought about how long I'd be on my feet at tonight's game.
You look absolutely ridiculous, bro!
Daxon managed to wheeze in between laughing fits. Well, that's rude. Just because I don't fit your standard idea of a woman doesn't mean you should make negative comments. I put my hands on my hips, finally understanding why women loved this power pose so much. Callan, ever the placator of the group, put his hands up and sauntered into the center of our circle.
You're absolutely right. Maybe it's just that you've never expressed interest in dressing like this before. It's throwing us off. But hey, you do you, little brother. We love you no matter what. How about we just get to the game so they don't run out of their world-famous footlong silly dogs?
I grabbed the silver sequined fanny pack I'd bought for just this outfit.
That's another thing. Silly dogs just doesn't sell it for me. You think they'd consider Jose dogs?
Ace spun his car keys on his finger and led the way to his van parked outside. Yep, he and his wife Addie had bought a van the week after little Adam had been born. Apparently, they'd made plans to have a litter of children who would require a whole van to get around town. I was all for it, considering Addie's only means of transportation had been a bicycle before, but I wasn't sure about the crocheted curtains her dad had installed inside the van. Gave it a decided hippie look that didn't match Ace's vibe. But hey, their marriage, their problem, not mine.
I'd eat way more of them if they were Jose Cuervo dogs, Daxon added helpfully.
I slapped him on the shoulder. See, now that's brilliant. Get a sponsor and a cool name for the hot dogs. I climbed into the van, letting out a yelp, when I felt the breeze raise the hair on the back of my legs.
How did girls get in and out of vehicles in skirts without flashing everyone?
Blaze also let out a yelp, but it was more groan than surprise.
Jesus, Ethan, you couldn't find shorts that weren't so tight?
Callan slid in next to me, still shaking his head.
I had to hold in the goods, dude.
I grabbed for my seatbelt, quite used to being the target of their jokes. Five Hellman boys and I was the youngest. It was a cross I simply had to bear.
Can we please talk about something other than Ethan's goods?
Daxon yelled from the row of seats behind me.
Yeah, maybe we can ask him why he's so focused on the marketing of the Valleys.
Ace spun around to make sure we all had our seatbelts on.
Jesus, he'd really gone full safety, Dad, when Adam was born. Should we check the tire pressure before we go, or should we get going so we don't miss the game? Daxon, ever the asshole of the group, piped up. And for once, I was grateful for his colorful commentary. I didn't want to be on the receiving end of why a simple handyman needed to be so concerned with marketing. Had handyman services been my only gig, they'd be right to be confused. But I hadn't exactly told them of my undercover, super-secret side gig. Thankfully, Ace went off about the new facial expression Adam was making. He swore he didn't make it only before he crapped his diaper, and Daxon tried to explain the new dance his stepdaughter Ruby had taught him. By the time we ran out of things to jabber on about, we were pulling into the parking lot of the baseball stadium. Cars were everywhere, people milling about in all kinds of steel gray and baby blue Silicon Valley gear, usually with drinks in hand. A warm feeling of contentment and excitement washed over me. I dreamed about opening day of minor league baseball all winter. The tailgating, the beer and hot dogs, the camaraderie with other rabid fans, the crack of the bat, the sticky plastic seats that made your butt go numb after an hour. Hell, even when my team lost, I still went home with an ear-to-ear grin on my face. Baseball, man, it was a whole vibe. We piled out of the van and cracked the back open to relieve the ice chest of some of its beer. My outfit was garnering lots of attention. Most people cracked up. Several got selfies with me. Everyone agreed the computer programmer mascot was terrible. I took the final swig of my second beer, putting it back in the van before turning to get Ace's attention. Hey, I gotta pee. Be right back, and then we can go inside and get our seats. He gave me a head lift, which was bro code for having heard me. The poor guy had puffy eyes and uncombed hair. He clearly hadn't been sleeping well between shifts at the fire station and dealing with a newborn at home. I was glad he'd agreed to still come with us today. A day to blow off steam was a good thing for everybody. I'd offered to babysit next week so Addie could have a day off, too. The line for the porta-potties wrapped around one end of the parking lot, but the guy behind me started up an intriguing conversation. His brother's best friend's cousin worked for the marketing department for the Valleys. I explained my mascot issue and he agreed with me, saying he'd have his brother reach out to see if they were even remotely interested in changing things up. I took care of business, holding my breath the entire time I was in the porta-potty, of course. My God, some people really had problems with their digestive systems. I lifted my prosthetic boobs and heaved out a sigh of relief at the weight that was lifted from my neck. Holy hell, I even had a line of sweat under the band of the bra. Next large-breasted woman I dated was getting neck massages every night. Stepping out of the porta-potty, I gulped in clean air. Well, as clean as you could find in the big city. I saw hordes of tailgaters moving toward the turnstiles to enter the stadium. Shit. I'd been in line longer than I thought. I hustled in the direction I'd left my brothers, dodging people left and right. I ducked around a man who was taller and wider than any of my brothers. Glad I wasn't meeting him in a dark alley. And then smashed face first into a walking asparagus? I grabbed the fleshy stems of the tall green vegetable, holding it steady and realizing belatedly that long eyelashes hiding the prettiest blue eyes were blinking up at me. I held a woman, not a vegetable that made my pee smell funny. Sadly, the woman's entire person was covered in heavy green felt that resembled the tender shoots of asparagus. Just the woman's face peered out from a round hole in the costume. Where her hair should have been protruded the tips of the spears. Let me guess, Stockton asparagus fan? The face, painted the same hideous green of our biggest rival, lifted. Asparagus is for the win, baby. I liked the way this veggie girl called me baby. I'd never even liked asparagus before, but this encounter was rapidly changing my mind. Isn't it asparagi? Her blue eyes went hot, and suddenly I wished I'd put my best foot forward, not my fake breasts that were presently poking her costume. Only if you're Latin. I pushed my thumb into my chest, above the silicone, of course. Country boy, not Latin, I drawled. Her lips quirked to the side in what could almost be called a smile. Damn, I really wished I could see her without the costume. And the paint. Preferably with nothing on.
Did you know the female asparagus produces a red berry, a diversion of energy from vegetative growth that makes them less productive per acre than the male variety?
Well, holy shit, what was this? Nerdy banter? Something inside of me that had lain dormant while on dates with plenty of women who should have excited me and did not, raised its head and sniffed the air. I'd ask to see your red berry, but I don't even know your name.
Her gaze dropped to my impressive boobs before skittering back to my face.
Fuck, why did I have to be sporting boobs when I wanted to get my flirt on? Me and my bright ideas.
She leaned in, her eyes dancing with humor, but not quite meeting my gaze. They call it an asparagus clitoris. It rhymes.
I grinned, full out, just stood there not caring about the game starting behind me or the way I was pretty sure my wig was askew. I liked this woman.
Hey, can I get your picture for the paper?
A voice called out from beside us.
We both turned to see a man with credentials dangling from a lanyard around his neck. He held out the camera and I gave him a nod, still in a daze, from falling head over heels in love with a woman dressed as an asparagus talking about the female clitoris like that was normal conversation for a tailgate.
I put my arm around her spears and grinned. I wasn't sure if she grinned too, seeing as how I couldn't see her around the felt costume from this angle, but she felt good in my arms. Like me and my boobs were meant to be pressed up against her. The man lowered the camera and gave us a thumbs up.
Nice costumes, you guys.
Then he was gone, and so was everyone else. The parking lot was deserted. A ridiculous amount of empty beer cans and bottles littered on the ground to let us know people had been here just a short while ago. I let go of my mystery woman. Regretfully. Slowly. Wondering how I could flirt with her some more.
You headed inside?
She looked at my left shoulder.
That's generally what one does when they come to a baseball game.
I nodded, wishing for some of that earlier flirtation that had come easy. I'll walk you in. I think my brothers ditched me. We started walking side by side in the direction of the stadium.
That happen often, them ditching you?
I shrugged. Boobs bouncing and sunglasses sliding down my nose.
People are awful, my mystery woman lamented, a tone in her voice that made me sad for her.
They're usually quite great, actually. I just took a while and they probably didn't want to miss the first pitch. I got to the turnstile and tried to walk through it. The metal bars didn't budge, which meant I jerked back, pain lighting up my hip bones from where the bars had hit me. Thank God for tight shorts and packing things away, or the goods would have taken a beating. Shit.
The woman behind me sighed. Well, I guess we're locked out.
I shook my head, not one to give up so easily. There was always a way. Nah, we just need to climb over. I looked at her, eyeing the bottom of her costume. It ended at her knees, leaving her shapely calves on display.
Can you climb over in that?
She raised a single eyebrow.
Can you climb over in that?
I looked down at my skirt, barely visible past the cleavage. Only if you promise not to look. She snorted, and I decided right then and there that I was getting her phone number. Well, only if she gave it freely, of course. I had a sudden urge to take her out for steaks and asparagus at some fancy restaurant. I bent down like the gentleman I was and laced my fingers together.
Put your foot here and I'll boost you up.
She only hesitated a moment before she put her white sneaker on my hands and let me lift her up. She grabbed the turnstile and did an awkward butt scoot across the bars before swinging her legs over and hopping down on the other side. I leaped the best I could with my outfit, wondering how women played sports with these things on their chests, landing right by my asparagus friend. My sunglasses went flying, but I caught them before they crashed to the floor.
Hey, you two!
We both turned to see security coming from both directions, running full speed toward us.
Run! I shouted, finding the whole thing hilarious. We had tickets, after all. Not our fault their ticket taker decided to abandon their job before quitting time. I took off running, hearing the woman's sneakers also squeaking on the shiny cement floor. The security guard that went after me was older than my mother. I almost felt bad for outrunning her so easily. By the time I reached the section our seats were in, she was nowhere behind me. And neither was Asparagus Girl. Disappointment like I'd never felt in a baseball stadium before flooded out the levity from earlier. She was gone. My asparagus friend with the gorgeous eyes must have run the other way. Shit, I muttered, chastising myself for not getting her number earlier. I stayed in the main concourse area for a few minutes longer, but when I didn't see her, I figured she was long gone. With a heavy sigh and a roar from the crowd that told me I was missing the game, I headed for our seats and tried to put the mystery woman out of my head.
Chapter 2. Andy. It was like Groundhog's Day, but with green paint staining my pillowcase. Another day waking up to no alarm, and instead of ease and determination filling my veins with purpose and direction for the day, I tasted the gritty bulbous of despair. I rubbed my eyes and tried to breathe through the steady headache that had plagued me since I got the dreaded call from Human Resources. I couldn't let myself think such dark thoughts. It was just a short jog from there to dressing in shades of gray and becoming a starving artist. I had zero artistic talent, so I needed to get my shit together. A bang on my front door had me jumping in fright. I wasn't expecting anyone, not even food delivery. I couldn't afford that anymore. My best friend Sydney should be at work by now, and all my acquaintances would be too. That's what adults did. They went to work. But not me. Oh no. I was the unemployed scourge of the planet. I swung my legs out of bed, stood, and rolled my shoulders back. I would not cower behind my covers. At least not today. I'd probably be back to that tomorrow once I spent a solid 10 hours trying to find work online, applying for jobs that didn't use my computer programming degree in the slightest, and left me contemplating all the choices I'd made since becoming an adult. Going to watch my beloved asparaguses last night had bolstered my mood, like an entire percentage point. Swinging the front door open, I found an empty welcome mat. I stepped outside and looked left and right down the outside hallway that was my apartment complex. Not a single soul. I turned back around and saw it. A white piece of paper taped to my door. My stomach pitched and wobbled on the cusp of heading to Vomit Town. That's where I'd gone right after being laid off from my programming job a couple months ago. I'd spent 2 days running to the toilet when most women would be crying or raging or drowning their sorrows in cheap wine. Damn that sensitive little stomach of mine. Every situation that kicked up my nerves led me straight to the nearest toilet or trash can. I ripped the paper off the door and hastily went inside. If I had to throw up, I preferred to do it in private. By the time I reached the bathroom and sat down on the floor in front of my toilet, I really should put a pillow in here for as often as this was my resting place. I'd skimmed the note from my landlord. I had 7 days to get current on my rent or they'd start eviction proceedings. Steady inhales through my nose with closed eyes and a visualization I'd memorized over the years. I'd battled through the nausea without losing the breakfast I hadn't eaten. The standard financial advice said to save up 6 months' worth of income for a time such as this. Had I done that? Hell no. I had student loans to pay back, rent to make, and food to buy. I was 25 for crap's sake. Who had their shit together at 25? I'd saved up exactly 1.5 months' rent, which was what I'd paid my landlord. Apparently that hadn't been nearly enough to keep him from kicking me out. Shit, 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 I chanted in time with my visualization of puppies frolicking in a field. Suddenly, I was doubly glad I'd used the ticket my previous employers had paid for last night. The Stockton Asparagus were my favorite sports team, having grown up in that city the first half of my life. I had gone, hoping the ticket would work. Apparently, in the buyout of the startup app company I'd worked for, The new owners had overlooked the baseball ticket. I probably wasn't going to be able to afford to go to another game for some time. Last night had been one to remember, especially because of that intriguing man. I wasn't normally attracted to men with boobs bigger than mine. Not that it would take much to eclipse me. But he'd had a sexy drawl that made me shiver. The good kind of shiver. Not the, oh shit, he's a stalker/murderer shiver. My eyes sprung open. The nausea completely gone. I didn't have time to think about shiver-inducing men. I had to face facts. Rent was due, and I didn't have the money. I had to find an alternative place to rest my depressed head. My brain instantly went to Sydney. She'd give me one of her kidneys if I asked, but she'd just moved in with her boyfriend, the one she was crazy about, and I was happy to see her happy. I couldn't ask to couch surf and ruin their honeymoon period. Just because my life was crumbling like a cookie in the fist of a sugar-addicted toddler didn't mean I should rain on her parade. Mom and Dad would let you move in. I sighed and pushed off the toilet to stand again. Shaking out the leg that had gone to sleep, I looked at myself in the mirror. My dark brown hair was a tangled bird's nest. One bushy eyebrow was winging up at the end like a young female Einstein. I hadn't even taken off all the green face paint last night before falling headfirst into bed. I was a mess. An unemployed mess. I really didn't want to move back home with my proverbial tail between my legs. But I wasn't seeing much in the way of options. My parents had paid for the first 2 years of college, the most they could afford. I'd vowed to support myself after that ran out, and yet here I was. Not even 5 years into being officially on my own, and I was about to use them as my safety net. On top of that, they lived in a small town. Literally everyone would be talking about how I'd moved back. Anyone with a brain could put two and two together and see my four was actually code for failure. My cell phone rang, and my first instinct was to ignore it and dive back under the covers. But then my logical brain kicked in and talked myself into the chance that it could be a callback from the dozens of resumes I'd submitted over the last 3 months. With my foot still giving me pins and needles, I ran for the phone and answered before they hung up. Andy? Why are you out of breath? Sydney. It was just Sydney. Hey. I sat down on my bed and pushed my long hair out of my face. Just had to run to get the phone. Girl, I'm picking you up to head to the gym as soon as I'm done with my balayage client at 3. I groaned, head pulsing harder. I don't. Nuh-uh. Sydney cut me off. You got winded grabbing your phone, woman. You're coming with me even if I have to hogtie you and strap you to the roof of my car. I rolled my eyes. You don't know how to hogtie. Do, too. I've been watching Yellowstone. I shook my head, even though she couldn't see me. This made no sense. You don't even have the rope, Sid. And you'd break a nail. There's no way you'd... Okay, geez. Stop taking things so literally. Besides, that's not why I'm calling. It's not? I wrinkled my nose. Sydney often called to cajole me into going to the gym with her. Usually food bribes worked best. Have you checked the Merc? I stood and made my way into the kitchen. I needed some breakfast if I was to survive this level of energetic conversation. No, just like every morning, I don't read the newspaper. It's archaic. You can get more up-to-date news if... Yeah, look online. Not the same as a newspaper you can feel and see and get black smudges all over your hands. Yeah, that sounds truly lovely. Stop distracting me. You're in the paper. Sydney shouted in my ear. I sniffed the container of milk. Not exactly fresh, but not disgusting either. I put it on the counter and rooted around in the cupboard for cereal. Was there an unemployed losers column? Sydney huffed so hard I felt the breeze in my ear. Listen here, bestie. You need to start working on those positive affirmations I printed out for you. Your negativity is why you haven't found a job yet. And here I thought it was my sparkling personality that was off-putting. I replied dryly. Sydney lectured me on a regular basis about my grumpy nature. She liked to call me an old man. And quite frankly, I couldn't find the lie. I was an old grumpy man by nature, and no amount of cajoling would pull me out of it. Another sigh. Listen, there's a picture of you standing next to someone with the biggest boobs I've ever seen. I'm not sure who they are, but you have some explaining to do if you're cheating on me. I poured the milk, and then put the carton down to try to understand what she was talking about. Big boobs, you say? Yeah, you're in your asparagus mascot costume. Was this from last night? My heart did some kind of weird backflip in my chest. At least it wasn't nausea further south. I remembered the way he'd gone perfectly still when I'd been a nervous idiot and started talking asparagus facts. That's right, I forgot. Forgot me? You little hussy! Sydney's shout brought me back from the replay of the conversation I'd had with the man from the baseball game. No, not you. I forgot someone took our picture. Who's the mystery person? I don't know. Never got his name. But he was there trying to convince the Silicon Valleys to change their mascot. Oh, yeah, that makes sense. The computer programmer mascot is boring with a capital B. Hey! Sydney made some shushing noise that never led me to wanting to remain quiet. You know I love you, but your profession is a snooze fest. Along with the menu date, total snoozers. But this guy? This guy has potential. I rolled my eyes and shoved a spoonful of cereal in my mouth before I could agree with her. That's exactly what I thought, too. Potential. None of the guys I'd dated previously made me want to throw up. That's how I knew this one was different. So, did you get his phone number at least? No, nothing, I said around the food in my mouth. I had better manners around everyone else, but Sydney was my person. She'd never fault me for being my grossest self. Well, that's a challenge for sure. Sydney began to hem and haw. It's not a challenge, Sid. It's a dead end. See, that's where you're wrong. Your picture is in the damn newspaper. All we have to do is put out a social media post about trying to find your mystery man, and we let the internet do its job. No, promise me you won't do that. Maybe 3 months ago I would have let her, but not now. Not when I was hitting rock bottom so hard my ass would be bruised. Nothing like having a first date and telling a hot guy you're crazy about that you're moving back in with your mommy and daddy. Nope. Not doing it. Why not? I'm not in a place to be dating right now. You know this. Let me get back on my feet, and then we can discuss dating hot men with big boobs. Sydney snorted, then went quiet. Then sighed when she realized I wasn't going to budge on the issue. Fine, but you're going to the gym with me. When you get back on your feet, I want you to have the perkiest ass out there to impress your mystery man. No one will even be looking at his boobs because they'll be taking selfies with your ass. That's gross. No ass selfies. Ass selfies. Sydney giggled, and the ends of my mouth tugged upward. I didn't know how she did it, but Sydney could always turn my bad day around. I'm sure he'll have moved on by then. But a girl can dream. Sydney sighed again. My 9 o'clock is here, but remember, you're Andrea fucking Higgs. Men don't just get over you, they obsess. Your mystery man will be waiting for you, I guarantee it. I rolled my eyes. You've been reading those affirmations a bit too much. And you haven't read them at all, she shot back. Can't find a lie there, I grumbled. Love you. Love you too. We hung up and I went back to my cereal, letting my brain take on some of Sydney's optimism. Did I want to find the man from last night? Would our chemistry still be there, or was it just excitement over the baseball game?
Sample complete. Ready to continue?